Chapter 7. C. Can you find him now? While I tried to make this entertaining, the whole purpose of this book is to educate you and reduce your blind spots and misery so you can deftly navigate the narcissy bullshit at work. The truth is that narcissism lives in systems. Work, and possibly the whole of corporate America, is a narcissistic family system. Our country may be as well. Maybe the world. Your family of origin may have been a narcissistic system that has roles, patterned behaviors, and reactions, and emotions that are encouraged and discouraged. Fear, for instance, may have been perceived as weak, and therefore you were encouraged to react to adversity with anger and outrage, as it's seen in your family, as more powerful, strong, and smart. These distortions and preferences thrive in all families. Many times, controlling behaviors are both employed by parents and encouraged in their children in lieu of authentically experiencing emotion. Then you may have grown up and unconsciously recreated the system you knew way back when, in the work and/or friend environment you operate in now. Maybe your narcissy dad never told you he was proud of you and all your accomplishments, even though everybody in town heard about how proud he was of you. And the impact of that is you have a blind spot to when and how to celebrate yourself and all that you've done and what a rad person you are. Then you choose a job that overworks you and doesn't express any appreciation for your rock star efforts and contributions to the company. It's a twisted, fucked up thing how companies deliberately withhold praise and acknowledgement of talents, hard work, and general strengths in order to increase production. Makes fucking burnout damn near inevitable. A lot of isms in that system, not the least of which is narcissism. And though there are narcissistic behaviors everywhere, I do think that there are some professions dominated by narcissists. Got any guesses? Lawyers, cardiologists, pilots, politicians, sales, academia, and yes, you guessed it, psychiatry and psychology. Why the hell you think narcissism has gotten to such epidemic proportions? The fucking inmates are running the asylum. Now, I'm not saying that a psychiatrist or psychologist can't help you with your mental health and wellness. They can. They just can't help you with your narcissistic tendencies, vulnerabilities, etc., because they also suffer that way. Hell, it's no wonder the mental health industry has a blind spot to narcissism. The DSM, Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, could have been one of the caricatures in the last chapters. DSM narcissist, white, straight, East Coast male whose family comes from money, fiscally conservative, and he says he's politically liberal, but we have yet to find evidence of progressive thinking or policy implementation. What to do with the DSM narcissist? Be just like him or suffer the non-majority consequences. The DSM is a patriarchy / white supremacy Bible, and the general public does not benefit from this knowledge. They don't understand it, and it corrals people into fitting into prescribed norms defined by people they have never met and can't relate to, yet somehow speak for them. Nope. You know, medical student syndrome is that phenomenon when med students think they have the last disease they just learned. Till they learn the next one, and then they have that one. The novel knowledge got in their head. They freaked out a bit and thought they had it until the next day. In shrink grad school, it's more like you diagnose every one of your family members with the disorder, mostly personality disorder, you just learned. Both are neurotic newbie behaviors, but the latter is closer to the truth. A veteran Harvard psychiatrist once said to me that med school was way easier than a clinical psychology doctorate because they just tell you what to think in med school. And the minute-by-minute self and others analysis in psychology versus psychiatry is maddening. You can see how that anxious self-centeredness plus the family of origin issues could crank out privileged narcissists into the mental health system like a hose left on overnight. At my company, Unorthodox Inc., we don't do isms thinking. We don't do doctors who know everything and patients who are sick and broken. The docs, the advanced students, were once psychotherapy patients, often psychiatric patients as well. They were talked at, medicated, sometimes hospitalized, and/or shipped off. They were convinced they were wrong, broken, or crazy without being asked much of any substance, and definitely without being actively listened to and loved. We reject that system. And in our community, we see teachers, students, and students who become teachers. These advanced students have learned and applied the emotional intelligence skills, and they use and practice them on a daily basis. They are less medicated, free thinkers. They are down to help and support each other in specific and effective ways, more effective than the majority of mental health professionals. That's because they don't just preach psychological wellness. They live it, Dottie. They laugh, play, and cry all the time. We connect and feel that flow of healthy energy, joy, and love between us when we are together as a group. Those who want to get trained to teach workshops do. Those who want support at gigs, shows, creative projects, we show up. Those who want to spread joy and emotional intelligence skills to the community, we spread the knowledge and the laughs. At their jobs, universities, and within their families, these young folks have navigated some of the most sophisticated narcissistic behavior that psych grad students and even veteran shrinks don't even see. They trust themselves and can feel when someone's trying to mindfuck them, and they don't let it happen. If they miss it in a moment, they are compassionate with the miss. They mindfully prepare, and they go revisit the issue. Do you get what that means? They willingly enter into conflict productively and correctively. It's epically brave, and they're mindful and skillful. They're going to rule the world someday, I'm telling you. I know all this shit is hard to believe, so you'll just have to experience it yourself with your own eyes, ears, and heart. You let me know when you're ready. So what can you see now? What are your family and loved ones' narcissistic vulnerabilities, behaviors, and/or tendencies? What are yours? What caricatures from the previous chapters made your skin crawl and provoked an impulse to dismiss this book's info? If you found yourself arguing with this book, alone and/or out loud, that might be a decent place to start. And the truth is that you probably aren't a full-blown narcissist. Making it this far in the book is probably some kind of litmus test. All of us who come from narcissistic family systems need to take a look at what trickled in or down. We either have a pervasive perception of inadequacy and feelings of shame, or we tend to date those who do. We go to what we know, people. The devil you know and all that. Look at your parents, your friends, your partner, your past partners, your work environment. Are these happy people? Do they experience daily joy and laughter? Do they give back? Do they like themselves? Do you? If the answer is no, I'm sorry. I wasn't making fun of you in this book. I wasn't making fun of anybody. I was making a sad and complicated thing funny to help the medicine go down, to help your brain absorb this multi-layered information. I wanted you to have the knowledge so you'd have a shot at using it to improve your work life and your whole life. The information may be overwhelming to take in all at once, like this. So let me reassure you, there is hope.